So to our video audience, we are recording with just with phones today because we lost some SD cards, so the quality won't be quite the same, but you know, we'll do what we can. Today we are talking about repentance, and it comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means a renewing of the mind or a changing of the mind. Repentance means to change direction. It's like a U-turn. And when we talk about repentance, we can't think of it the Billy Graham way. It's not a one-time act. It's a journey. It's something that we have to be on our entire lives. It's a new attitude. It's a something way beyond confession. It's saying, hey, I want to change. I want to make a difference. And then you think, well, I don't know what to change. So if I can speak just to the married men for a minute, all you have to do is ask your wives what you need to change, all right? And give her a notebook, because she'll fill it. And it's really kind of interesting. No, it's the same. Most of us wouldn't dare ask that question. Most of us don't want to be confronted with what we need to change. Most of us have some arrogance that way. We have bad attitudes, and maybe it is time for it to make a change. That's what the season of Lent is all about. It's about repentance. It's about taking a different direction in life. You know, so I was asking around this week, what needs to be changed in many people's lives? And, you know, I always put it in the third person so people don't think I'm singling them out. And one of the common things that really didn't surprise me was the way people drive in West Michigan. And because I remember when I first moved here, when I moved to Holland, I was amazed that, you know, people don't use turn signals, they tailgate, you know, all that stuff. And I had a buddy in seminary who grew up in Los Angeles, and he was used to traffic all the time. And he said, well, you know, it's hazardous to ride on Highway 31 in Michigan. It's the most dangerous road he's ever been on. And he would say things like, man, these people in Michigan, they're the nicest people on the planet. But you put them behind a wheel, they turn into sociopaths. And I think that's pretty much true. He said the solution would be that everyone in Michigan and make them drive in Chicago for 2 weeks. Then they come back and they have everything changed. But there's certain rudeness that goes with it, you know, and that's something maybe we could all repent from. Then there's judgmentalism. I can get judgmental, particularly of Michigan drivers. You know, we get judgmental about everything. And we have that, and slander and gossip. Man, that's almost a plague. It's like our native language. We need to do something about that. Maybe it's good, something we can repent from there. And then there's the good old approval addiction that is rampant. It's interesting. People will say, oh, I just want them to like me. And then they'll do anything they can to get you to approve of them. And, you know, approval feels good. It's highly addictive. But it turns you into a colossal pain in the neck, and you don't want to have that. It opens you up to all sorts of folks taking advantage of you. You know, I know about this because many of the people who go into full-time ministry are approval addicts. And if they have that, they usually crash and burn in the first 10 years. 30% of the people who go into full-time ministry don't make it 5 years, and it's because of that. There's a need to repent, a need to turn around and stop seeking approval. Now, Lent is the season of repentance. The Pillar Church in Holland has the rooster as a symbol, and the purple rooster has been a symbol of Lent in Protestant churches for centuries. And what it is that the rooster is there to remind us of Peter. You know, how he was, before Jesus was betrayed, he made this big speech, I'll never leave you, I'll never desert you, I'll be with you forever. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny you knew me 3 times. And he did, and then he repented. And So the rooster is taking on this symbol of repentance in the Reformed Church. And purple, somebody decided, was the color of repentance. So a lot of the European Reformed churches still have purple roosters on their windbands as a symbol of repentance. It's a kind of a Reformed thing. What it just means is it's time for a change. It's time to make some changes in our own lives. It happens all the time. We can change our minds. That's really what metanoia stands for. It's like making a U-turn. Now, maybe the reason Michigan drivers are always crabby is because of the Michigan left. I don't know. But we've all seen this sign. And I was really impressed. There's one of these, there's a couple of these in Salt Lake City. And when my son lived there and go visit, I'd see this. And he told me that one of his friends was on one of these U-turns, and he said, "It's a Michigan left." The guy had never been to Michigan, but they actually call them Michigan lefts in Salt Lake City, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's actually a good idea. I like those things. But they can show you how you have to turn around. Essentially, that's what repentance is. That's what we're talking about today, is a change of direction in our lives. So we're going to look at teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. It's kind of interesting. It reads like this. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. "Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee?" Jesus asked. "Is that why they suffered?" "Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." "And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem?" "No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too." It's key teaching of Jesus that we're all equal sinners, that we all need to repent. You need to repent, and I need to repent. Daily, it's a journey. It's something that needs to be done. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there's any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden." Of course, I had to research fig trees, and there's a 3-year cycle to them. If they don't start producing figs in 3 years, they're not going to. Fig trees that work produce 2 crops a year, and they have certain names for the first crop. I don't know why anybody grows figs. It tastes nasty, and they're full of seeds. But, you know, they're kind of like a vegetable. It's just, I imagine they'd make good horse feed or something like that. But it's a Mediterranean staple. And I also read that it has a very aggressive root system. So if you... You know, have a fig tree, it's going to take over quite a bit of territory because of its roots. And that's what fig trees do. But if they fail to yield, they're probably not going to yield figs again. And anyway, the story goes on with this. It says, the gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." So the emphasis on production here, it almost sounds like works righteousness, but that's not it. He's just saying that if you don't repent, you don't have a future. It's that simple. So turn around now. And Peter, you know, wrote about this in his letter. 2 Peter, he says this, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent." He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. That's the devil's goal. The devil wants to destroy you. His goal is repentance. But he will not mess with your free will. He lets you decide when it is. You have to choose to turn around. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you with all the patience that God has. He's waiting for you to do it. Peter talked about this in one of his recorded teachings from the book of Acts, too. He's talking to a large crowd, and he says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, the appointed Messiah." Your sins are wiped away. I've got a big whiteboard in my office upstairs there. We put a consistory organizational chart on it that I don't want to take down. And it's been up there for a couple of months. And so that ink dries on there, and it's really hard to get off. But it will come off with the right amount of chemicals and whatnot on it. But eventually, I'll take that down, and it'll be a clean slate again. That's what Peter's talking about. That's what repentance does. It gives you a clean slate, a new start. You get a time of refreshment from the Lord. And personally, I think that's one of the best parts of the faith, is you come out, you admit that you're wrong, and you repent, you turn around. I have to do it daily, sometimes hourly, but it has to be done. So I learned a long time ago that you really cannot be happy and right at the same time. You know, you have to be able to admit that you've messed things up. There's incredible freedom in that. What repentance is about is making better choices. How do you know where you need to repent? And if you ask God that, he will let you know. Or you can ask the people around you, they'll tell you too. You'll get some interesting feedback. If you really want to know where you messed up, ask your kids. If you have adult children, they will tell you. Or you can ask your spouse. You'll get a list. But there's places where you need to change. Now, my personal favorite sin, I'm going to tell you what it is. Mark, that really perked you right up, didn't it? My favorite sin is gluttony. I like to overindulge. I engage in excessive consumption. But, you know, it's one of the hazards of living here. You've got all this access to fast food all the time. You know, where I lived before, you had to drive about a half hour just to find a McDonald's. Now I can walk to McDonald's. And, you know, everything on that plate is making me drool right now, except for the pizza. They can keep that. But the rest of it's kind of good. And then, you know, living in West Michigan, you get this other problem, too, is Hudsonville ice cream. That is the best ice cream that I've ever had. And I tell you what, I've been known to eat a whole carton of it in one sitting. I can do it. And then those of you who have a few gray hairs will recognize this. You know, I will gladly pay you on Tuesday. You know, remember that from the Popeye cartoons? And that cartoon makes me hungry for a hamburger. And, you know, what we should do as a group is just go to Brown Bear and Shelby right after this service. That's one of their hamburgers, and they are really good. You know, but I have an addiction to this sort of thing. You know, I used to not be able to drive past a Burger King without pulling in and getting a double Whopper. Well, that's legal. It's just not healthy. And repentance is a gift. It's a gift that God gives us to get rid of toxic behavior. And you can do it. It doesn't cost anything. It improves your life. So think about it. What's the one thing you can do that would make a real positive difference in your life? Start small. Just think of one thing. And you'll be happier for it. Repentance is a U-turn. Figure out what you need to repent from and make a change of direction. It's just that simple. See, God doesn't need your repentance. It's not what he needs. It's a gift that he gives to us. It'll set you free from toxic behavior. Your life will be better if you turn some things around. You know that. Repentance is more than confession. You know, you can confess it. I can confess to you that I eat too much. But unless I start changing things, then I'm not doing any good. Repentance is a change of mind. That's what metanoia is all about. It's an act of will. And you can do it. And your life will be much better. I like to make lists. This week I started making a list of things I'd like to change in my own life. And I'm so thankful that there's a delete button on my computer. Because I didn't want anybody to see it. But we all have those things that we want to change. Now, then, so let's just change it. God will give you the grace to make that happen. Report for duty, and He'll show you what needs to be done, and it will be done. So let's believe this good news and live in peace. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we are timidly coming to you, asking you to show us where we need to make changes, where we need to repent. We know you'll show us, and then give us the courage to act on it. Bless us in this way is what we want to do. Amen.